What's happening? Hour number three, J Mart and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. Along with 11-year NFL veteran involved for life, Ramon Foster, Jonathan Schaefer, I'm Jason Martin, at Ramon Foster, at Schaefer on Sports, at J Mart Radio, at J Mart and Ramon. 615-737-1045. That's the telephone number, 737-1045. I really do want to talk about the injury reports in the NFL, especially as it relates to the Titans, based on a conversation I had yesterday. But let's do our power rankings. I'm going to do this every Wednesday, scout meeting Wednesday, as we begin to start to look at Seattle. Rhett will join us in the fourth hour, and that kind of is, that's when we turn the page and kind of like try to stop looking back to whatever that was on Sunday against Arizona. So the weekly 7-3 is how we do it. We don't do a top five, bottom five around here. We do a penthouse and outhouse, but we do it based on Ramon's 73 that he wore effectively for the Pittsburgh Steelers for 11 years. So it's a top seven. It's a bottom three. The bottom three is, I mean,
we might differ. Who's your bottom three? I got Jacksonville 32. That's easy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, all right.
I mean, the Texans won a game, so I have a hard time putting them there, but I still want to put them there because I thought the Lions in a loss showed me a good bit against a good San Francisco team instead of an Urban Meyer coach Jaguars team.
Okay.
And then the Jets lost Mekhi Becton. They lost a game. And so I guess I still have them there.
Two other players that they let go that signed
right
to that team. Yeah.
So I'm going Jags, Texans, Jets. Even though I mean, like, I know the Lions lost, but like I said, I thought they played hard in that game. And the fight that they showed when they were getting blown out to get it to where they had a chance to potentially tie the game and send it to overtime at the end, I would probably throw them there.
I feel you. But with me, I'm going with the team that lost in this bottom three, and that's Detroit. Again,
I like what
they did. It seems to me that the culture is trying to change. They buying into the coach the right way. Saw more fight out of this Detroit team than you did out of Jacksonville. And I feel bad about Jacksonville being that low. No, I don't. Jacksonville, Detroit, and the Jets is what I have. Although, I'm going to go ahead and turn the knob up a little bit higher as I say this. Zach Wilson, he looks the part. He looks like he's fitting in already as far as being an NFL, young NFL quarterback.
Yeah. Him and Corey really like each other, too.
Yes.
And he clearly favors Corey Davis. They had a secondary pass catcher there as well. They had the rookie. They had Ole Miss.
Elijah Moore.
But he didn't get that much work. It's clear that Zach Wilson really likes Corey Davis.
But this also goes back to the mentality that we heard other players here talk about Corey Davis.
Yeah. He endears himself to you real fast.
He's a calming sense.
Yes.
And I think that's a guy like, that's from BYU. You know what I'm saying? Zach Wilson's from middle of the country. You know,
hey, man, we might end up taking the L on this. And I said, I'll be glad to take it because I want as many good quarterbacks in this league as we can have because it's going to make things so much more fun to watch. I want all these teams to be good. I want all these games to be good. And Zach has already shown me more than I thought he would at this point.
And I just want to say, again, to that same point about eating it, as far as, like, look, if you're wrong, you're wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
We ain't say nothing wrong about Corey other than the fact we wish we had seen this version last year and what looks to be moving forward.
But what did we also know? We knew somebody would pay him as a one. We said that last year. Somebody's going to pay him as a one. That's why he's not going to be here, because he's not a one here.
And he's it's clear, beneficial to Zach Wilson. He's very beneficial to him. So kudos to him, man, for – finding his way.
So you went Jags, Jets, Lions.
Jags, Detroit, Jacksonville.
Yeah. I think I can understand Detroit. I just thought they showed more fight in the Jags and Urban. That situation's so bad. The Texans winning it.
Jets, Detroit, Jacksonville. I said Jags, Jets, Jacksonville.
I mean, Jags are definitely last. Like, there's no argument to be made there. No. All right. We go 7-1. Okay.
Okay.
Number seven. I'll go first this time. Arizona is seven for me.
Solid. I got Seattle at seven. I thought them going on a road, winning the way they did everything you needed to see from a team in opening weekend. Franchise quarterback playing the way he should. They shored up the O-line. It was solid. D-line, high praise on them. I got them seven.
Schaef, who you got seven?
The Pittsburgh Steelers at seven.
Okay.
Okay.
I've got them at six.
I got them at six, too.
because they went to Buffalo and won, mm-hmm. and Buffalo had a lot of hype. Tennessee had hype. I think Buffalo had more hype. That's why I give the Steelers a little bit more of a nod. Their defense looked ridiculous. Hayward had the highest Pro Football Focus rating of any player, offense or defense, in week one.
He wrecked shop.
And then I saw Aditi ask Mike Tomlin, how is he still doing this at his age? And Tomlin said, I wish I knew. I'm just glad he keeps doing it.
I'll tell you how. He treats practice like a game. As a guy, I went against Cam for about
just like a tight
7 years. And from day one, like, I had to just the way I practice because, okay, he's bringing it. I got to bring it. Iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. And Cam practices the way he play. Like, Eris, you pull off a little bit. And honestly, what I was hearing about Jeffrey Simmons, I kind of related him more to Cam than anything else.
Which is a huge compliment.
It's a huge compliment. Cam's all pro. Yeah, okay, yeah.
So, yeah, Arizona 7, Pittsburgh 6 for me. Shafe, who did you have at 6?
Seattle.
Okay. I've got Seattle at 5.
There we go.
I've got Seattle at 5. They went on the road to Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that's as impressive a win as what Pittsburgh did, but Seattle looked the part with the new offensive coordinator finally getting that Schottenheimer stink off of them. DK Lockett making the catch that he made. Russell Wilson looked completely dialed in. That defense, Bobby Wagner had 14 tackles in the game. They looked the part. That's why I look at this game Sunday, and I'm just like, I mean, on paper, this is not a team you want to see right now if you're Tennessee. Mm. But if you go get right against them, boy, the narrative's going to be different on Monday than it's been for the past couple of days. But I got Seattle at 5.
I got Arizona at 5.
Okay, so you flipped them. Did you have Seattle at 7?
I had Seattle at 7.
Yeah, and I had Arizona. I flipped it that way. Now, I do think that Arizona beat a better team because I think the Titans are a better team overall than the Colts simply because of the quarterback.
Okay, I'm with you.
Arizona at 5.
Yep, right. Well, there you go.
I'll go first on this one.
Okay.
Like you said, it wasn't over the top, but the team, we're talking about teams, New Orleans.
Me too. I got same 4. Same number 4.
Rams at 4 with New Orleans at 3.
Okay. I got the Rams at 3.
I got the Rams at 3. We're seeing the same thing. I hadn't seen y'all list either.
No, we haven't. No, we never do that. The Saints, look, when you do that to Green Bay and Jameis plays within himself, mm-hmm. but the defense was just awesome in that game. They made Green Bay look even worse than Aaron Rodgers wanted them to look.
Yeah. Mission accomplished.
You heard it. NWO, man. I'm telling you. He's the third man. He is about to drop a leg on a macho man.
Yes, he is. Top rope action.
And then the Rams, I just think the Rams are a really good football team. They didn't beat a good football team, but Stafford looked like that's why you gave up picks to get him. Cooper Kupp had a great game defensively. Yeah. I mean, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, and that crew, they're just really good. So I think they're a better team than the Saints, even though the Saints had a more impressive win.
This is what, and it's probably going to start a forest fire again, but this is what Josh from Jersey was speaking of as far as you went and got a quarterback from another city.
Tons of expectation.
The team already had all of that.
Yep.
And then they answered the call in prime time.
Yep.
That's the place you want to be at, right?
Yep. Number 2, I got Tampa number 2.
I got Kansas City number
2. So you got Tampa at 1.
Yep.
Tampa 2, Kansas City at 1.
Yeah, I've got Kansas City at 1 because I think that beating the Browns. Mm-hmm.
So we literally all have the same teams.
Yeah, we don't have a single. There's not one team in the 7. There's a different order, but there's not one team in the 7 that one of us has that the other ones don't.
By the way, my bottom 3, Jacksonville dead last, then Atlanta, then Detroit.
Latin, you're wrong. Lethal Latin said, I got to disagree with this. Lethal Latin on YouTube says, Buffalo had more hype. I don't know about that. Titans were definitely on ESPN a lot more this offseason than the Bills. You're wrong, man.
Buffalo had more hype.
Bills are number 2 in the AFC.
Also,
the Titans were on TV more often because of Julio Watch.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
But not because people were picking them.
But also, Buffalo has actually been picked by people to be in the Super Bowl, and that's actually my team to go in the Super Bowl from the AFC.
Lethal Latin. Right. Think about this, too. That quarterback got a quarter of a billy this offseason. There was a lot more hype over there with a big guarantee on top of everything that they added. And I kept the Bucs number 1 because they are still the defending champs. They won a game that was tightly contested. They put on the show for the world to see. I'll never forget your point about Tom Brady and his metrics of throwing the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Watching him, like, it wasn't a bad ball thrown. AB had to speed up just a little bit, But he's got it like he's friggin' Einstein out here, Jay.
The attention to detail.
I put Kansas City number one because the Browns played an A-minus B-plus game.
That's why I did.
And still lost.
That's
and
why
if
I did.
Cleveland's playing anybody else in the league, they're winning 8 to 9 times out of 10.
Yes.
I feel you on that.
Yes. So how about that? We all had the exact same 7 teams.
He put Atlanta in there.
I could not put a team in there that lost. I think Cleveland is a top 7 level team, but I couldn't put them over. I couldn't put them in with a loss.
Yeah, no, especially this early.
No, but I think my difference was I had Atlanta in the bottom 3. I don't think you guys did.
Well, I noticed that ESPN's power rankings has Buffalo 4. I'm like, you can't do that with teams that have won.
Well, it's reflective of the first week.
It's also reflective of the hype of the Bills.
Yes.
So that's there. Top observation. We didn't do it off the very top. We'll do it here before we get to break. Deborah Hare, who's been commenting a lot this morning.
Shout out to you, Deb.
Yeah. I had not seen that name before.
No, that's
but she's coming strong. Back to crepes, praline, and strawberry with real whipped cream best.
Mm.
So her morning is better than our morning, is what I'm saying here.
Cool whip.
I don't even know the context, and I don't care. The
fact that you didn't send that to us.
Hashtag jelly.
Yep.
Hashtag petty. When we come back, how many of the Titans that didn't practice weren't healthy? And if they weren't, why didn't we know more? We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Jay Martin and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back. Hope you're well here on this hump day. We're doing well. It's Jay Martin and Ramon here with you until 10 a.m. Jonathan Schaefer, Ramon Foster, Jason Martin. Those are the three names. At Ramon Foster, at Schaefer on Sports, at JMR Radio. You can find us collectively at Jay Martin and Ramon. 615-737-1045 is how you reach the program. So I've teased this a few times. I want to get into it. I know the Titans are certainly not the only team to do it. In fact, they've picked it up from other teams that have done it. But I do want to discuss it because when we were talking about guys not practicing and all that, and that's been a narrative, right?
Yep.
There were people inside the Titans that hit me up yesterday and were like, that narrative's false. These guys aren't healthy. And, okay, we sensed some of these guys weren't healthy, right? I just have this question. Why would you not give us a little bit more information ahead of time? Now, I get that you don't want to give other teams too much information, but Sunday would be a lot easier to take. This past Sunday would have been a lot easier to take if you knew Taylor wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
If you knew AJ wasn't right. If you knew that the Julio situation, he wasn't 100%. And that's why he hasn't been practicing and all this kind of stuff. Like, when you tell me that after the fact, I have a hard time buying it because it's awfully convenient. The secrecy, I don't think does these guys any favors, Moan. Like, I just don't, because it allows the narrative to be constructed without all the information. Mm-hmm. And then when you tell me the information after the fact, I just don't care. Like, at that point, it's like, okay, I mean, that's great. But I can't even, it's not like I can go confirm that information now, whether it was true then.
Yeah, and okay, it's one thing to be on the injury list and still perform well. And, you know, be like, man, you go back to it the next week. That's fine. It's a lot of guys that get maintenance days. There's some guys that deal with stuff from camp and just roll forward with it. But when you have a bad performance, and I'm not saying, you know, the Titans made this excuse for him or nothing like that, as far as, you know, relying on, like, well, they were injured. This is the thing about being a pro. Guys study a lot. The game is the game. In general, like when I say the game is a game, is you're going to play it. What you learn about people in the game is something I looked at. That injury list, if a guy got a back, Jay, I'm knowing, well, he probably not going to bull rush me this week.
Mm-hmm.
If a guy's got a leg, guess what? Or an ankle, he might be a little bit hobbled this week, so I'm going to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
It's sharks in the water when it's go time. And this is the other part of it, and I've seen some of the defense and guys who've had injuries on their injury list. Is, well, they're hurt, they're injured. Don't walk your butt out there if you're less than what you need to be.
Because once you're out there, you either can or you shouldn't be.
You fit in with the wolves or get treated like a sheep. Jay, you better be a wolf or you're going to get treated like a sheep. I don't care about your elbow. I don't care about your knee. I don't care about your back. If you lining up against me, you better be ready to go. I've told you this game's I've been playing where my ankle was heavily taped. Mm-hmm. And I tried to, you know, assist myself in winning where, okay, if my right ankle is taped up bad and I know I'm hobbling on it, well, guess what? I got to make sure that I don't let you go inside because that's my push-off leg right there mm-hmm. when I was playing on the right side. I got to make sure that I run you around the horn. I got to make sure that, look, if my lower is messed up, then my upper got to win real big this week. Like, my arms, my hand placement got to be good. Hey, right tackle, I need some help, man. Like, give me a push before you go. Like, that's communication that you say. Get treated like a sheep, Jay, if you can't fit in with the wolves.
Right.
That's what they're going to do. Like, this goes all the way back from, I mean, that's football. If I got an ounce of advantage on you, I'm taking it.
I mean, same thing in basketball. The same thing as any sport where you're going one-on-one, mano a mano with somebody else. Like, yeah. If I'm playing tennis and I know your left wrist is bad, then I'm going to hit to that side.
Facts.
I'm going to make sure that I'm going to work your backhand instead of your forehand.
Yeah.
Like, there's always going to, whatever I know, I can use. Now, I get, that's why you get super secret and all of this. All I'm saying is, and maybe there's not a perfect answer here, but if you got that many dudes that are banged up for the last month, then I don't need Taylor Lewan putting out a video where he's cutting. He's like, look at me, I'm 100%. And then afterwards, well, maybe he's not right. It takes time to come back from an ACL. Soften the blow for us earlier. Like, don't tell us how everybody's full go, everybody's good to go, when they're not, because it doesn't help you. And the fact, I would say this too, like, if you know Taylor Lewan's coming back from an ACL, you know Ronnie Stanley's coming back from an ACL, something like that, you're going to test them early just to see.
Facts.
Right? Like, yeah. Whether or not they've told you anything or not, I would imagine the first thing you do is, I'm going to challenge him, let's see mm-hmm. what he's got. Like, I don't know if Buda Baker even attempts that move if he doesn't want to test Taylor Lewan.
You know what happened? The coaches said, Buda, look, and Buda rushes off the edge yeah. a good bit. He's a run defender as a safety. He does do those type of jobs. And what they said, we're going to put speed over there. We're going to get you. Again, it's documented. Look, I wasn't the fastest, but I was the strongest guy, one of the stronger guys out there. My technique saved me, okay? So you know what I got a lot of the times before, like, that he got off of me, I got the NASCAR packages that they put out there. I would get the linebacker or the DN or a Chandler Jones type, or they would try to put a Clowney on you. You know what you do, Jay? You shut it down. If I had given up a sack or something like that, I had a guy directly tell me, and who were we playing against? Gosh, who were we playing against? It may have been Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And Frosty Rucker was okay. out there. Okay, and I had got beat the week before on the sack. You know what he did the third play of the game? Third and three? Hit the exact same move that the guy last week did.
Yeah, why wouldn't you do that?
And I said, oh, you've been watching film. Because I respect the game and what it means to you. And guess what? I shut it down and he didn't come back to it. That's what the game is. Nobody cares about it. Look, this is one of the things I don't care about the labor pains. Just give me the baby, guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that in the sense of, you know, women having kids. I'm just saying in the sense, look, I don't care what you got to do to get the job done. Just get the job done. That's all that matters at the end of the day. It ain't got to be pretty, but it better not look like that. And I don't need to hear no excuses.
Right. Well, I mean, like, if you're on the field, play.
Facts.
If you're on the field, nobody cares on the other team whether or not you're healthy. They're not giving you bonus points. You're not starting there. So I don't need to see on Twitter after the game, I don't need to see, and I don't mean Taylor's tweet itself. I mean, like, all the comments from fans and stuff, like, he's probably not right, blah, 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 all this. It doesn't matter. He's on the field. He's the one that's responsible in that position in that moment. That's true for anybody on any team, mm-hmm. anywhere. If you're out there, you're expected to perform. You have to be.
Think about Green Bay. What is Green Bay going to see? They're going to see a lot of stuff that worked against them that New Orleans did. That Saints defense is now a template for at least the next couple of weeks for the teams that are going to face Green Bay. That's the way it's a copycat league. The teams that the Titans are going to see, they're going to run games. They're going to test the right tackle again. And there's a team in front of us right now, the Seattle Seahawks, that are going to do the exact same thing. And they have a very deep, solid defensive front on top of one of the best linebackers in our era with Bobby Wagner. Like, there's no sympathy, fellas. Like,
also, I would imagine this. You tell me if this happens, because I'm sure it does. Chandler Jones goes out there, and he has his first couple of moments,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
And he goes to the sideline, he goes, 77 ain't got it. And then everybody on the team knows. Yeah. Now, Chandler's out there for himself. You mm-hmm. can tell that on Sunday because he's trying to get his money. He's probably a little frustrated with the J.J. Watt situation,
yeah,
all that. So it might be a little different. But I would imagine if you're out there and you're as a unit, mm-hmm. you're playing as one, you got there and you're like, hey, challenge 77.
You know what this? We got one.
Right.
Fellas, right. Over here.
Right.
We got one. We heard Lewis Riddick on Monday Night Football. And I feel bad because that's my guy. You know Alejandro's my guy. Lewis Riddick, who people say is an NFL mind, he could potentially be a GM if he wants to and the job is right. He said this on national TV in front of everybody, if y'all were listening and watching the game and not the Manning cast. He said, man, at this point, guys are lining up over the right tackle.
Yeah, they can't wait.
Please don't say that about me.
Because it's a buffet line.
A feasting. So when it comes down to injuries and you changing positions and your team not being on the right page, screw that. When I think it was Zach that called in earlier and asked, well, what do you do this week? You shut up and you go to work. If I'm feeling iffy, Jack, coach, I got to go today. No, I'm on the – Coach Munch, I got to practice today. Like, it's been times where, like, Mo, this is your off day. No, coach, I got to practice today. Because everything – and it's the guys on the scout team, everything that I got beat off of, as much as I can, hey, I need you to do this. I need you to quick out and go in. Like, I need you to see the same games that we saw. Mm-hmm. Individual, like the position coaches. We saw this last week, guys. We're going to run this. And our individual peers away from the team, the 707, look, let me get a couple DBs over here, young D linemen. We're going to run these same stunts and games. We got to get this cleaned up because your tape going to follow you for about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I promise you it's going to follow you. Because there's – why would I deviate from what beat you last time until you stop it?
Well, I mean, that's always the thing. That's the thing in any team sport or any individual deal. It's like, until you prove you can stop this move, I'm just going to keep doing it.
Do it.
I'm going to keep doing this crossover until you actually adapt to it. And if you don't make adjustments, I'm going to beat you with it mm-hmm. the entire game. That was the same deal. It's like, why would you change up playing against the Vols – in terms of throwing in the middle of the field.
Mm-hmm.
Middle of the field has been wide open since before last season. As long as you continue to do that, until they find a way to stop it, mm-hmm. you're just going to keep scoring points.
Yep.
You're going to keep beating the brakes off of those guys because of the success rate
yep.
that you're finding. Cousin Paxton, what's up, Pax?
What's up, Pax?
Hey, guys. What's going on? So one thing I want to talk about, you guys are hitting the nail on the head. Both of y'all have, you know, valid points. Obviously, Ramon from an athletic standpoint, and J-Mart, man, you coming from an analytical standpoint. But when I look at Taylor Lewan, I'm thinking from a mental standpoint. I'm wondering, you know, his body may be telling him he's ready to go, but mentally, man, when you're coming off an injury that traumatic, especially this late in his career, I'm wondering if he's mentally over that injury. You know, he seemed like he was really afraid to really plant that foot and really, you know, get down into his stance, man. I watched that Buda Baker one. If you look at it, he's very off balance for a reason mm-hmm. because he seems like he does not want to plant that foot into that grass. So that's just an observation that I saw. I've watched that, you know, that video a couple times. And lastly, I expect this Titans team, man, first of all, we are a victim-based team, fan base and team. And what I mean by that is we are – a team that plays against the world when our backs are against the wall. We do that. That's when we play our best football. We don't do well historically when we're getting praised. And, you know, right now we're what, 5.5-point underdogs, maybe more by the time kickoff comes. I think this is the week we go up and shock a lot of people when we go up and beat Seattle in Seattle. Now, after that, what do we do? Do we get back on that same boat and say we're an elite team and here we are, we've arrived? Or do we keep that dog mentality, keep your head down, go to work, sweat, you know, and come up with plays? And that's what I really want to see the most is, can we shut up in the media and not let that stuff get to us in the locker room? So I'll hang up and listen, guys. I love you always, man.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, man. You too. My thing on, and I saw Deborah make this point in YouTube, and I agree, and I kind of led off by saying this, it's not new that you're hiding injuries. Like, that's happened a lot, and Belichick's notorious for it. And of course, Vrabel, a lot of what he does is iterated off of his time with New England and being around that organization. Yeah. Here's the thing, though. If that's true, then don't tell me about it after you lose. If you're going to hide that to gain an advantage or to make sure nobody else takes advantage of you, that's fine. But then don't send me information to tell me, by the way, X, Y, Z, A, B, C, D, E is true after the facts. Like, no, you could have told me that for the last month to where I would have bought it. Not that it's not true, but if that's the case, then you've been sitting around for a long time letting people say, why aren't guys practicing? Why aren't guys practicing? What's the story? What's the story? If you don't tell the story, someone else is going to. And usually if someone else is telling your story, it's not going to be to your benefit.
No, it's never to your benefit. We get to create our own narrative on this. And back to the injury list thing too. Number one, that's for Vegas also. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand that.
Gambling's going to change everything.
We get that, because if you know this player is injured and hurt, guess what people do too, Jay, to that same point about the injury list? They bet to those sometimes. Oh, so-and-so is hurt. Well,
sure they do.
I'm slanting it. But there's a few things that have to get fixed this week. And again, it's early. We're being very level-headed about it, but you can't. There is no excuse making. We're done with the preseason at this point right now. If you want to beat those teams, those guys, Zach said it earlier, and so did Josh from Jersey, like, you got to answer the call. Like, you have to week in and week out, because people are either glad you got your problems or do not want to hear them. And right now, I feel like this fan base really don't want to hear about your problems. Give me my solution, and that's a win on Sunday. Can't stress the home opener against Seattle. And honestly, it's not the primetime game, but it ain't as many games on at the 4 o'clock. So it's going to be more eyes on you to answer it again. And after the weekend that Russ just had with 4 touchdowns, he going to look to put on the show again. If they answer, then you know what? We'll talk about that next week.
Right. Right. So that's really it. It's just, if these guys are that banged up, might want somebody to know that, so that you walk in Sunday with expectations that make sense. Because again, what was the biggest problem for the Titans was the expectations everybody had. That's why everybody's sad. Everybody wouldn't have been sad if this was the team that Marcus was starting for as a rookie,
right?
And they were coming off a 2-win season or something like that. This is a team that's made the playoffs and a team that went and got Julio. And that's the difference. You can't say, I want to be the underdog, when you go get Julio Jones and tout the chess move and say, look, we got Julio, now we're going to the Super Bowl. It's like, you go get Julio Jones because you want to welcome those expectations, because you know they're coming. You got him and you got A.J. Brown and you've got the rushing champion. And you got Tannehill, who was super efficient and only threw 7 interceptions last year. Like, all of that is accurate and true. So now that you've got expectations – expectations don't win games, but you've got to win when people are giving you their best shot, or you're phony, you're fugazi. That's the only problem. That's the pushback I have with we're best when we're underdogs. That may be true, but you need to start being best when you're expected to win. Instead of you go on a roll and Schaefer will remember this, you go to Buffalo and lose to an awful Bills team. Come back and Marcus Mariota gets sacked 9 times against the Ravens here. Flacco can barely even move, and you get embarrassed in that game. Then you go to London and lose to the Chargers. You lose 3 in a row when people are paying attention to you. You lose to the Texans out of nowhere like 3 years ago when you're on a roll, and you get boat raced by the Cincinnati Bengals with an offensive line that's among the worst that you could possibly imagine last year, and not just get beat. Get stomped by a rookie quarterback.
Quinn Spain was on that team last year.
Yeah. Like, that's the kind of thing I'm saying. Like, yeah, you're going to be underdogs when you lose games like that. But you got to stop losing games like that. You got to dominate teams like that. I know it's tough to win in this league, but you have to be able to win with expectations, or you're never winning a Super Bowl.
KC did it. Tampa did it.
Yeah. Exactly.
They're expected to win.
That's how you get respect. Is when people are paying attention, you still knock people in the dirt. We'll be right back birthdays with Ramon Foster.
Yeah.
Not going to be one of the best days because I think the names are just too big. Don't let me down, Mom.
All right, for sure.
I'll be right back. Jay Martin, Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. Little sabotage. I'm going to try not to sabotage Moan too bad here in birthdays. Welcome back, Jay Mart and Ramon here on 104.5 The Zone. Sports birthdays, Dan Marino.
Hey, now.
60 today. Ernest Biner, great Browns running back, 59. Gaylord Perry, 83 today. Moan rolling here. I saw the eye flip there. He's a pitcher.
All I can think of is Gaylord Focker.
There you go. Jason Terry is 44 today. NBA. Champion, as a matter of fact. Marshall Yanda, who we were talking to, Jeff Schwartz, he came up in that segment. He's 37 today.
Ravens still ain't filled that void.
And we got to get the Titans in there. Bishop Sankey is 29 today.
Shout out to Bish. Shout out.
All right, here we go, Moan.
Come on.
Like I said, some of these names are just too big, I think. Tom Hardy is 44.
Tom Hardy, actor. He was in a cowboy movie. Gosh, what was he in? Yes, Tom Hardy was in a cowboy movie. I know who he is. I can't tell you a movie right now.
A cowboy movie? Am I forgetting?
May have been.
I mean, he may have been.
I don't want to dismiss
him. I don't want to search it right now, but yeah. I'm pretty sure he has.
I mean, he got it right. It's an actor.
Yeah, he's an actor.
That's a low bar right there.
That is a low bar.
Okay. We'll give it to you, Moan. I feel good today. I'll give it to you.
Actually, I'll tell you who he is, and you're going to see why you're embarrassed after
a second.
I know.
You're not going to be happy about it at all. He played Bane in The Dark Knight Rises. Yep.
That's the one that I was going to mention.
He was in I'm pretty sure he was in a cowboy movie.
He may have been. He played Venom.
Yeah, Bane.
The Revenant.
Yep. He was in Revenant?
Yeah. He was the other guy. It was him and Leo, pretty much the two guys in that film. Tom Hardy's a really talented actor.
Yeah.
He's in Inception as well. Yeah. One of our guests tomorrow knows Tom Hardy very well.
He knows him really well.
Yeah. Josh Charles is 50, Mo.
Josh Charles?
Mm-hmm.
Was he in Blue Streak?
He was not. Or Red Streak or Orange Streak. Only Orange Streak.
Blue Hill Avenue?
Losing streaks of Tennessee. What?
Blue Hill Avenue?
No.
Nope.
Is blue the only thing you got?
No. I don't know. What was he in? I'm lost on this one.
Josh Charles was Dan Rydell in Sports Night. Also in The Good Wife for many years. Really, really talented actor is Josh
Charles.
Somebody
said Lawless.
He was in Dead Poets Society, which is one of the great movies of the 80s.
Lawless was the cowboy movie that Tom Hardy was in.
Yep.
Dustin Gill was saying Lawless is not a cowboy movie.
It's not? It's a renegade movie.
Western movie.
Western.
I'd say it's close enough. We searched Google Tom Hardy Cowboy and it came up Lawless.
So, yeah.
Not really a Western, but sort of.
Although I still don't think you actually saw that movie.
I have. I actually got it in my iTunes library. Okay.
That doesn't mean you've seen it.
I have seen it.
Okay. Tommy Lee Jones is 75.
Tommy Lee Jones. John Grisham movies. Tommy Lee was in friggin'.
It's true, I think. I know he was in.
Yeah, no. Pelican Brief.
No. I don't think it was Pelican Brief.
Tommy Lee wasn't in Pelican Brief?
I don't think so. He was in The Client.
The Client, yeah.
He was in a Grisham film. That's not what he's most known for.
I think
he may have been. I'm not saying he might have been in Pelican Brief. I don't think so. That was Denzel and Julia Roberts. Right?
Yeah, The Client is a John Grisham movie that Tommy Lee Jones was in.
That's okay.
Yeah,
that's what
Fugitive.
I thought. So. Okay. Yeah, Fugitive is what he won his Oscar for. People still think it should have been Morgan Freeman and Shawshank Redemption.
From Shawshank? Yeah.
But both those performances, either one could have won.
They went up against each other?
Yeah, they were both so good.
What?
They were incredible. And Tommy Lee Jones he's done a lot. Men in Black, obviously.
Men in Black, yeah,
all of those things. He's done a ton. Really talented guy.
I love when he's serial hit drama acting. He's really good at that.
He was also in one of the Batman movies prior to the Christopher Nolan series.
Yes.
Yep. His voice is awesome, by the way.
Yeah, he played Two-Face.
Yes. Yep.
Oliver Stone is 75, Mo.
Oliver Stone, director.
Okay.
Yep. Oliver Stone, let's go Independence Day.
No.
You're on the right holiday.
On the right holiday.
But the wrong movie.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
You could actually say it felt right and have it be legitimate.
That's not one of his most known films.
Well, Armageddon. Maybe that movie won some Oscars and was nominated.
Born on the 4th of July is the one we're talking about. But JFK... Frost Nixon.
Yeah.
Natural Born Killers.
Natural Born Killers was an Oliver
Natural
Stone
Born
movie.
Killers.
An Oliver Stone film.
Oliver Stone's a conspiracy guy. Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah.
You've actually done okay today.
Yeah, that's. I told you he was going to because the names are too big.
I don't know the name specifically, but I'm around the way.
So I know the plays, but I don't know what they're called.
Just point. That's my guy.
Block that guy.
Why are you the way that you are? DJ KG is 52.
I have no idea who DJ KG is.
Naughty by Nature.
I didn't know. I even played Naughty by Nature earlier in the show.
You got me.
I had no idea.
And finally, Moan, Henry Charles Albert David is 37.
Henry Charles Albert David. Wrestler?
Oh, speaking of which, Teddy Long, Theodore R. Long is 74 today.
That's it.
Adonis' birthday today also.
Yeah. I feel like you're leading me with that last one.
Henry Charles Albert David is 37, Moan. That's not four different people.
I know. I don't know who that is, Jay.
Prince Harry.
See?
I didn't know that.
I knew it was something.
Well, of course it was something.
I knew it, but because the name was too long for me to just be a random.
Yeah, after the bull pucky you pulled on Friday.
But it's my turn.
Henry Charles Albert David is light work. Fourth hour of the show, scout meeting Wednesday. We turn the page. Well, we'll ask Rhett for his thoughts on Sunday, and then we'll turn the page and start looking at Seattle. Rhett Bryan, Titans Radio, is with us. We'll have him after the top of the hour headlines here on The Zone.